Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Actually, this is a conference for a church in QC, right? But it's also for everybody. And especially for the priesthood. Because at the end of this age, what God desires to gain is a kingdom of priests.
Yes.
Remember, God's plan never changed. Many of us believers, we believe, we are born again, we are saved, we are Christians, but didn't realize that God wants to make us kings and priests.
Yeah.
The Lord wants to make us kings and priests unto His Father and our Father,
Amen.
His God and our God. This is the ultimate plan of God. Our concept of church is just a gathering of believers. But this is not God's concept. It is Zion, the kingdom of God. It is even more specific, the kingdom of priests. The priesthood is very important. And from Exodus chapter 19, we can see that when God brought his people out of Egypt, the first thing he told them is, if you will follow my word, keep my word, and do according to my word, you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Can you imagine we are a nation? Of course, we are heavenly citizens. Should be different. We're a different kind of people, a heavenly people. Every nation has its own characteristics. Right? I can see that in the face of everybody. That you're from Thailand, right? You are from Spanish, just like our brother Jorge Martinez, right? And we can see a different nationality. I can even realize you're from Taiwan, because every nation, although we are Chinese, I'm Chinese from the Philippines, but you know, I can tell whether a person who is Chinese is from the Philippines or not, or from Singapore, or from Malaysia. Right. So, every nation has its characteristics. Don't you think so? What about the heavenly people? What about the nation of God? A holy nation. This is the characteristics of the heavenly people. Right? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And not only that, but a special people. His own special people. Wow. I think not too many Christians appreciate that, nor pay attention to his precious word of God. Right? Yeah? We all live here in the United States, for example, and so we are very conscious we're Americans. Right? Even my grandchildren, when asked, are you this and that? Oh, I'm American. But what about when people ask you, where are you from? Have you ever answered, I'm a heavenly citizen, born of God? We are a heavenly people. And can people tell the difference? am. Heavenly people must have heavenly characteristics. A holy nation, a holy people with heavenly nature, we are partakers of the divine nature. Are we a godly people? A righteous people? Right? A people that express God? The mystery of godliness, like Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the church is the mystery of godliness. And he says it's God manifested in the flesh. Can people tell the difference between us and an unbeliever? Unfortunately, even among us Christians, we cannot tell the difference. Right. So we have to realize what God desires is not just for us to be saved, but God desires to have a special people, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. We thought only the Catholic people there who serve there with their special uniform, they're the priests. But do you realize, Chan, you are a priest? But how can people tell the difference? So it's okay, don't worry about it. How can people tell the difference? Right. So this is why in the five books of Moses, there is a book right in the middle called what? Leviticus. Why is it called Leviticus? How come it is not written and called a Jewish whatever? Why is it called Leviticus? Because original intention of God is to have all the 12 tribes, the whole nation of Israel, to be a kingdom of priests. But you know what happened when they arrived at Mount Sinai. Immediately there in Mount Sinai, when you think of Mount Sinai, Sophia, what do you think? What comes right to your mind? The Ten Commandments. But you're right. There's not only the Ten Commandments. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights right there with God. So when he came down from Mount Sinai, does he look like a Jew? No. What does he look like? His face was shining. Is our face shining? Are we? Every day when you look at a mirror, do you see the light shining out? What do you want to see? So when Moses came down, his face was shining. A person who spent time in the presence of God must be shining. It's impossible to spend 40 days, okay, let's say not 40 days, what about 4 hours? Okay, what about 1 hour with God? Well, it may not be 220 volt and 200 watt. At least you should have about what? How many watt? 50 watt? Oh, really? That is already quite bright, right? When people see us, what do they see? What do they see? Well, this is a question we all have to ask ourselves. But it all depends. Suppose Moses didn't go up the mountain and just listened to an angel sent by God to tell him and give him, here's the tablets, two tablets, read it for yourself. You think he'll be shining? No, you won't be shining. If you want to be shining, you have to spend time with God. If you don't expect to shine. Not even 1 watt. I would say 1 what. Not what, but what. What is in your mind? What is in your heart? What are you thinking about? The more you think, the more you sink. That's what a German may say. What are you thinking about? Only if we spend time with God. And how do you spend time with God? Just reading the Bible for 10 minutes and close it, and that's already spending time with God? What about the rest of the day? What did Paul say? For me to live is Christ, but just for 20 minutes a day. 20 minutes a day you live Christ, you think you will shine him forth? It's impossible. It is impossible. Right. But let's come back to the point. Why do you think in the first stop in Mount Sinai, the first thing God gave them is the commandment? Why? Why do you think God gave them the law? Because the kingdom needs the law. Otherwise, we will become lawless, just like what's going on today in this country. And they want to destroy the Constitution. They want to get rid of it. Right? If you get rid of that, that means everyone can do whatever he likes. And if everybody can do whatever he likes, what will become of us Christians? If everyone can do whatever he wants, we're becoming lawless Christians. That's why we Christians are so divided among ourselves, because everybody has their own concept. I don't like what you say, you don't like what I say, you don't like what I do, I don't like the way you meet, I don't like anything that you did. Neither do you like me. So what happened? Everybody does what is right in his own eyes. Remember the first word that God told his people when they are about to enter into the good land? What did God tell them? You should not do, every one of you, whatever you're doing until now, everyone doing what was right in his own eyes. So when you enter into the good land, God wants a kingdom, a nation, separated from all the nations in the world. This is what God wants. Is this what you want? What about in QC? Is this what we want? What is your goal? What is your purpose of meeting there in QC? Is it a Filipino church? Is it a Chinese church? Or is it a mixed church? No such thing. In Christ, there is no more Jews, no Greek, no Chinese, no Filipinos, no slaves, no freemen. Even in a sense, no male or female. We're all one in Christ. And we should all be priests. But unfortunately, although the people of God says, okay, we'll do whatever God says, we'll do it. Whatever you say, we'll do it. But even before Moses came down with the law, what did they do? Huh? A golden calf. And they even forced Aaron to do it. And Aaron gave in. How often did you give in? How often do we give in to pressure? Give in to whatever we are confronted with? Just believe everything and do not check according to what the Word of God says. We just believe what a pastor says. What if he were wrong? This is why Paul praised the Bereans. The Bereans. You remember the Bereans? Why are they more, what? Noble than other believers. Why? Because they searched the Bible. They didn't just believe in Paul. Although Paul was a real apostle. And was Paul angry? So how come you don't believe me that I'm an apostle? You have to go home and check to see if what I'm saying is right and scriptural. If you ask the pastor and tell your pastor, well, okay, it's a good message, but I'm going to home and check out to see if what you say is scriptural. You might not be received next Sunday, okay? But let me ask all of us here, if we hear a message, do you go home and check it out to see if it is scriptural? Do you check with the holy anointing indwelling in you if what was said is right? Do you have a spirit of discernment? Or you just believe everything? There are so many false prophets and teachers, like the Bible warns us. Not only the Lord Jesus warns us, all the apostles warned us. But how come we believe just anything and everything without checking with the Lord? Without checking with the Word of God? Maybe you cannot read. Oh yeah, how many books have you read? Oh, many. Too many. What about reading the Bible and check every word there to see? Check for yourself. You cannot blame the pastor. It's your fault if you believe everything and just believe what he says. Right. This was the problem when Jesus came to this earth. The people didn't believe what the Lord Jesus said. They believed what the scribes and Pharisees said, what the chief priests and the elders said. They believe in the lies, just like today they believe in the mainstream media, without checking facts. It's called fact-checking, right? You better do some fact-checking. Spiritual fact-checking. Because if you don't, it is your own fault. Before the judgment seat of Christ, you can say, but, oh, that Pastor Tim, I believe in Pastor Tim. Well, you think the Lord will take your blame and says, okay, Tim, it is your fault. So whose fault will it be, Greg? Your own fault if you believe without checking. And this is what the people do today. They believe in the mainstream media. CNN. I don't even know now what CNN means. Nonsense. A collection of all nonsense, lies, deception, telling people things that are not true. And people believe without checking. So every one of us must come to the Word of God yourself. You know how to read, right? And how come you read so many things? You heard so many messages in the radio and mainstream media, and you watch TV, you watch a lot of things, and you believe everything they tell you and show you. Yeah. Check the Word. Come to the living Word of God, and let me tell you, the Word of God is living, is alive, is spirit. And for some, especially new believers, it is milk. And as you grow, the Word becomes solid food for you. And you will see more and receive more revelation and more light from the Word. You cannot just say, okay, I know everything. No. If you graduated from elementary school, do you know everything already? So what do you do after that? You go to high school, middle school, and high school, 初中, 高中, right? You go to high school, and after high school, you know everything now. No, you go to college, you go to university. Is that good enough? So after you graduate university, you know everything? You keep on going. Don't think you already know the Bible. The Lord doesn't have anything more, new things to show you? No? And I've seen so many Christians in the last 40, 50 years, 60 years. They get stuck in where they are, and they thought that's good enough for them. Some people say, and I heard really in one of the message of some person, that says, we don't need any more new revelation. Just warm up the old revelation, that's good enough. How about warming up your food? You have one chicken and you just keep on warming up the soup for one whole month. Maybe for one whole year, just warm up that soup and add more water and warm it up. Nobody does that. But yet, we do that with spiritual food. Paul talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. So I asked some saints, how often and how many times have you read Leviticus? How many times? 100 times? 50 times? 20 times? 10 times? Oh, goodness! No wonder we don't know about priesthood. Leviticus is one of the most complicated books among the five books of Moses to read. Yeah. It's not easy, it's not simple, but you don't think it's necessary. Because you're not a priest. If you're not of the tribe of Levi, you don't need to read Leviticus. But if you are a priest, you're of the tribe of Levi, especially you are a descendant of Aaron and his sons, then you have to get into this book many, many times and then contemplate on it. Meditate on this book. Think about it. Think about it, because it is very important for the priests. For example, just about the consecration of the priesthood. I know many people say, Lord, I consecrate myself to you, okay? You mean to say just saying that is already consecration? You want to consecrate yourself as a priest to God. It's a special process of consecration, so you have to read. Right after the offerings, then you have the consecration of the priesthood. Right? So the Word of God is very important. If you are a priest, you have to get into it. Leviticus. Let us go to the outline very quickly. Sorry, yep. Well, time flies. It's already half an hour over. And I haven't even started yet. Leviticus. It's called Leviticus because it is for the Levites. For the Levites. For the priest. The law of the priesthood. If you want to be a priest, a proper one and a real one, then you have to read. You have to get into this book. In the outline, we wrote here special laws and instructions from the Lord God. It's from God directly for the practice of the priesthood. Yeah. It's directly from God. That is why the Hebrew name for Leviticus, the Jews, the Hebrews, call it Vayikra. Vayikra. Meaning to say, and he called. Why do they call it, and he called? Have you ever read a book that's called, and he called? Isn't that a strange name? Have you ever thought why it's called, and he called? It is so called because it wants to emphasize specifically initiated by God. And God called Moses. It is not Moses' idea. Moses is not so great that he could come up with such an idea of Leviticus. If you meet Moses one day, you say, wow, Moses, you are such a terrific guy, right? That you can come up with all those, my, specific laws concerning the priesthood. How did you do that? What do you think Moses would tell you? It is from God. He called me and dictated to me, just like John in the book of Revelation. He was in Patmos. Do you think he was in Patmos thinking what's going to happen in the future? My, he has nothing else to do, right? He's alone there in Patmos, and nobody's disturbing him. So he had a wonderful time to meditate on what's going to happen in the future. How about that? You can think for 100 years you can come up. You cannot come up with a book of Revelation. No, it was God who initiated and called him. And John just wrote it down. So it's not a book of Revelation by John. No, no, it's not by John. John is just the stenographer. He just wrote down what the Lord showed him, and the Lord even took him up there. Firstly, the Lord showed him the history of the churches before they all happened. And then the Lord took him up to the throne of God, beginning in chapter 4. And then from there on, the Lord showed him what is going to be taking place in the next 2,000 years and over. And a lot of Christians are afraid to read that book because they thought it's too terrifying and hard to understand. But it's not hard to understand. Who says it's hard? Ask the Lord if you don't understand, and let the Lord show you. Right. So let's start first here. The Hebrew name of Leviticus is Vayikra. And he called, initiated by God. Why? Why especially that he called, and it's called, he called? Because God's plan is to be fulfilled with the priesthood. And this happened especially after the tabernacle was erected and everything was completed. Can you imagine? Suppose you're going to open an office like what you did. So is it good enough just to have to rent a place? No, you also need to have all the equipment and all the products. Is that all? No. You need to just call anybody to work there. No. You need to be an optometrist. If you're not, then you cannot work there. You cannot even open a shop like that. No, the temple of God. You think just anybody can go there and serve God? But this is what people think today. If you open a restaurant, who are you going to hire? Just anybody from the street? If you do, nobody is going to come to your restaurant. Right. You need to have a cook, and you need to have many helpers there. There's so many things that you need. For the temple, the house of the living God, you need a priesthood to serve there. Without a priesthood, what is God going to do there by himself? No. The first thing after the tabernacle was built and erected God needs the priesthood. Do you realize that? Do you have that feeling for God? You mean to say God will just ask anybody to come and serve? So here it was God who initiated to speak to Moses when the tabernacle was erected. Today everybody can start a church. Just hire a pastor and maybe a pianist and a choir. And of course a basket to pass around. Then you can have a church. Right. So easy to open up a church. No, it is not that simple with God. Definitely not. And I hope that we all today will realize to practice a priesthood is not a simple thing to do. There's a lot of things to learn. The Lord has shown us the matter of the priesthood about how many years ago? Almost 10 years ago. And until now, we're still learning how to bring the best spiritual offering to the Father for His satisfaction. You know, you have a church life, right? You must have been to somewhere, right? What do you go there for?
To hear the word.
So to worship yourself?
Worship God.
Worship God by listening to a message? You see, right? If I continue to ask questions, you won't be able to answer. Then if the pastor didn't give a good message, what do you do? Are you happy? Why are you not happy? Because you're not satisfied. And if you're not satisfied, do you think God is satisfied? And God needs a message? So who is the message for? You know, if I don't ask you such questions, you'll never think about it. No, to worship. You use the word worship. John chapter 4 says that true worshiper must worship God firstly in spirit. If you don't even know you have a human spirit and you're not walking, living daily according to the spirit, how are you going to worship God? Firstly, you have to be in spirit. Just like Galatians chapter 5. Walk in spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we fulfill the lust of the flesh every day, and then we come the Sunday to the meeting, you think you'll be in spirit. And not only to be in spirit, then you have to come empty-handed, with some money. Who is the money for? God? God needs your dollars? So who is the money for? You see, our brother here, I have to think, yeah, that's right. I never thought about it. Who is the money for? What does God want? Christ. Experienced by you and the best of the best, the first fruits, the firstborn of all the cattle. To offer him as his food. You never thought God needs food, right? The spiritual sacrifices are for God to enjoy. What does God give you to enjoy? You tell me. Christ. That's why we have the feasts. And after you enjoy Christ, what do? You live Christ. You experience Christ. And after you experience Christ growing in you, then you bring that portion back to God for God to enjoy. Isn't that meaningful? Or do you think God will be happy, what, give him a Ferrari? Well, he doesn't need a Ferrari, okay? Give him a Mercedes-Benz. What are you going to give God? A nice pair of glasses. What are you going to give him? The offerings. What offerings? Read Leviticus. And read it many times so that you can understand and ask the Lord to give you spiritual wisdom and revelation and understanding, and let the anointing teach you. Because nobody else could teach you. Yeah. Leviticus is very important. The instructions for the priest. Right? The name Leviticus shows this book is specially for the priestly tribe. And the rabbinic Hebrews, those rabbis that read the Torah, right? They call this book Torah Kohanim. That means the law of the priests. The law of the priests. So you want to be the priests? We all want to be the priests. Read this book. Many times until you understand and read it with a praying spirit. Ask the Lord to open your understanding. Remember Isaiah chapter 11, right? In the first few verses, the Spirit is a spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, might, and strength, and knowledge. And then the fear of the Lord. Why is the fear of the Lord very important? Because if you don't fear the Lord, you will not do it. You will say, okay, I know. So what if you know? And if you don't do it, there's judgment. God is to be feared. To serve the Lord acceptably, Hebrews 12 says, with reverence, and that's good enough. Godly fear, because our God is love. What? You sure it's a consuming fire? Oh, who is he going to consume? Those who didn't serve according to what he says. You think serving God is good enough if you do what you want to do. You know, we like to serve, to do something for God. To do something for God. I think many of us just went through the constitution of the heavenly kingdom. And in chapter 7, it says, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, except those who what? Do the will of the Father. So what is the will of the Father? For you to be a Christian cook? To be a preacher? To do good works? To cast out demons? To heal the sick? No, the Lord says that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Preaching the gospel? Doing this? Giving a sermon every Sunday? Have we not done many good works in your name? Cast out demons in your name? What does the Lord say? How does the Lord answer them? In Matthew chapter 7, he says, well done, Sophia. You did a good job.
No. No. I never knew you.
What? Oh, you mean to say the Lord doesn't know everybody? I never knew you means I don't recognize that. I didn't tell you to do it. That's not my will. You do according to what you like to do. You serve me according to the way you like it. It has nothing to do with the will of the Father. Thy will be done on earth. What is going to be? Cast out demons in your name. Oh, so-and-so is sick. I better pray and lay hands on him. I'll sing in a choir to serve you. As if God needs an earthly choir. Can we sing better than the angelic choir? Our concept of serving God is to do something for him. But that's not God's plan. God wants to have a kingdom of priests, the priesthood. To serve him as priests, to satisfy him. We have done so many things. This is why amongst us, especially Christians, we want to use the word workers. Right? Sam? Co-workers. 工人 was 工人. That means I'm a worker. I like to do something for God. Right? Lynn, don't you like to do something for God? Very active. Right? Don't you want to be active? Yeah. We like to do something. We want to be active. Right. But if you take a look at the apostles in the scriptures, they are not just active, but they are doing the will of the Father. The very fact that Paul says, not I, but Christ, meaning to say, I'm doing this and this and that. Even I did more than other apostles, he said, but not I. It doesn't mean that he wants to do it. None of the prophets in the Old Testament want to be prophets. But they have no choice. Especially if you're doing exactly what God wants you to do as a prophet. That's why the prophets are not very famous. And they are not very well loved and appreciated because they always speak the truth. And the truth doesn't always please people. Usually not. Can you imagine a pastor speaking something that doesn't please anybody in the congregation? He's going to lose his job, right? Don't you think so? Yeah. So Leviticus is important. Law of the priests. For this reason, right, this name is important. I thought we need to know what this word Leviticus really means to appreciate it. But if you're not a priest, if you don't have any desire to bring spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, like Peter says, then you don't need to read that. People said, oh, those offerings, that's Old Testament. We don't need that today. We just bring Christ to God. Okay, how? What Christ are you going to bring to God? Is Christ the sin offering? Tell me. Right? Yes. Behold the Lamb of God. So, sin offering in Leviticus chapter 5, chapter 4 and 5, sin and trespass offering, refers to God, to Christ. Right? What about the burnt offering? What about the meal offering? What about a peace offering? What about a wave offering? What about a heave offering? What about the drink offering? What about all these offerings? Who do they refer to? To Christ. Yeah. What is a drink offering? You pour out yourself to God, to Christ. When Paul was about to be martyred, what did he say? The time has come for him to pour himself out as a drink offering to Christ. But what about in our daily living? You're too busy to do so many other things. If the Lord tells you to do something, you say, Lord, not now, I'm busy. Or I have no time. I'll do it on Sunday. To pour yourself out. This is why the Lord said, if anyone wants to follow me, he didn't say, if anyone believes me or believes in me. No, to believe is one thing. It's easy. You don't need anything. Just believe. Not by works for salvation, but by faith. It's a gift of God. Do I need to pay anything if you give me a gift? I don't need to do something. Huh? Free? Are you sure? Even if the pair of glasses are so expensive? $1,000? Well, maybe you'll give me 90% discount. I'll just pay 100. No, it's a free gift. But what about if you want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes? What do you have to do? To deny yourself. That is the same as to pour out yourself. You shouldn't love yourself. If anybody loves his soul life, he will lose it. If you lose it for his name's sake, you're going to gain it. To follow the Lord is a big difference than just to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to do anything to believe. So, sorry, do we still have time, yeah? Right. What can I say, Lord Jesus? Right. Leviticus. I just want to impress you all to go into this book yourself. Don't just wait for me to explain. No, I'm not going to explain anything, not even in this conference. How can I explain the whole book in 3 meetings, you tell me? You're kidding me, right? You know, in Germany, how many meetings, not only meetings, we had? Huh? How many conferences do we need to go through this book? So, the burden in this time is not to explain to you, but to transfer the burden to you and let you read this book yourself, if you desire to practice the priesthood. Right. If you desire to practice, then do it. If you mean business, you want to be a priest, okay, get into this book and pray, Lord, show me how to practice the priesthood. I'm still praying until this day unceasingly to the Lord, Lord, perfect our practice of the priesthood. If there is anything that we missed, anything that we have to know, show us. Show us. Right? So anyway, before I go on, I'm going to insert something that is not in this outline. Okay? Because we are living at the end of this age. Remember, the Lord says, go and preach the gospel to the whole world. Right? Behold, I'm with you. I'll be with you, and I'm with you until the end of the age. Why, it's been 2,000 years after the Lord said that. So today, we can see from so many things that are happening today that we are very, very close to the end. Right. In 2014, that was about 10 years ago, when at that time we were considering and we were fellowshipping a lot concerning the book of Daniel, and the Lord showed us and opened our eyes to see that in our time today, it is the end of democracy. The end of democracy. If you see that image of Daniel, chapter 2, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, even Nebuchadnezzar forgot about his dream, didn't know what he dreamt, but it has an impression, it's an important dream, but hey, you know, he called everybody in his kingdom to come and to explain to him the dream. So they all came and, okay, what is the dream? No, you have to tell me what a dream is. I said, who can do that? Nobody can do that. You tell me the dream and I can tell you the interpretation. But nobody, not one of the wise men at that time, could tell the dream. Of course not. And long story short, Daniel knew. And that dream was the development of all the kingdoms in this world. Right. It's called the time of the nations. The time of the nations. Starting with Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom, Grecian kingdom, Roman Empire, all the way, those two long legs, the Eastern and Western Roman Empire, all the way to the section of the 2 feet, the foot section. From gold all the way to iron and then clay. Clay means the people. So democracy means the power of the people. People's power. I think in the Philippines, you all know what people's power means, right? Yeah. People's power. That's democracy. And then after that, you have the 10 toes. That's the end of the age, the time when a beast appeared in Revelation 17. So at that time, although the Lord showed us, it is a very strange thing. Very strange. It's hard at that time to realize democracy is coming to an end. But shortly after 2015 and 2016, we here in the States know what happened. And until this very day, it is even more clear democracy is coming to the end. Democracy started in this country in 1776. And now it is 2024, almost 250 years almost. Every kingdom comes to an end. So democracy also is coming to an end, whether you believe it or not. It started here in this country, and it's going to end in this country. I don't want to go into details, but you all need to realize that. You know, just a couple of days ago, I went through again Daniel chapter 11. I don't know if you have read through Daniel chapter 11. I don't think a lot of people know Daniel chapter 11. Even if you read it, you may not understand. It's called the Book of Truth. Right, in chapter 10, at the very end, Gabriel came, right, and told Daniel, right, what was in that Book of Truth. What was in that Book of Truth? It was concerning the war after the people came back to Jerusalem from Babylon. Right? And after the fall of the Grecian Empire, the country in the north, it was Syria at that time, and the country in the south is Egypt. And the good land is sandwiched in between. Can you imagine the two countries, one in the north and the south, that were fighting each other, and you are sandwiched in between? You're going to feel the heat, right? Especially if the army comes from the north and from the south, they have to cross your country. Okay, to make the long story short, what I want to tell you is this. All those decades of war between the king of the north and the king of the south, the kings, was reported in that chapter, a long chapter, in details. What does it tell you? It tells you that God, this wonderful God, the Almighty God, the Most High God, the Lord of hosts, the Creator of heaven and earth, He knows everything, just like in Isaiah. He knows everything in the future from the past. That's why you have the book of Revelation that tells you what's going to happen. And it was written 2,000 years ago. You better believe that everything that is happening today is under the control of God. even what is happening right now. You remember the election in 2016? Right. Mr. T, right? Was elected. And at that time, the Lord already told us, although we didn't know who that guy was, I never met that person. The Lord told me he's going to win. My first question was, who is he? Who is he? And at that time, the whole news media says she was going to win. But he won. He won. And the whole nation went crazy. You remember? The whole nation went crazy. Even that woman also. Because he already prepared a party to celebrate his victory, her victory. And he won. Right. So, what can I say? Now, the reason why I'm telling you all this is that Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 talks about the last 7 years. Because 70 weeks, that means 490 years, was set apart for the people of the Jews, the Jewish nation. 70 weeks. And at the end of week 69th, the Messiah will be cut off. That means he will be crucified and died, not for himself, it says very clearly. And he came to accomplish redemption. You read it for yourself beginning in verse 24, right? Then something happened between the 69th week and then the 70th week. It was a mystery hidden in the Old Testament days, which is the time of the New Covenant. It was hidden. So they didn't know. And that period hidden in the Old Testament days was this age of the New Covenant. So right now is the fulfillment of the final week, the 70th week. Right. So, anyway, do I have time? Okay. I have to fellowship this with you all because it is important for you. This 1 week is divided into two parts. The first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. So it is into two halves. Into two halves. So Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says, as to the last week, what's going to happen? Someone is going to, by strength, make a covenant with many. Someone. It says he. It didn't say who he is. But we know today, who is he? Because there's only one who made a covenant. And that marked the happening in the first half. Okay? And then, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord gave us a very specific burden to look and get into that second half. Because in most of the translation it says, and in the middle of the week, he, whoever he is going to cause the offerings and oblation to cease. It's going to stop the offerings. So everybody thought, and we all thought, that the beginning of the sacrifice will be in the first half or toward the end of the first half. Because of the translation, it says, many translations says, in the middle of the week. How would you understand in the middle of the week? The middle is the middle, exactly in the middle. So that means the Jews would have to start the sacrifice before the middle. And we all knew that the red heifer all of a sudden appeared. Even at that time, five of them. How many years ago? Almost two years ago, the red heifer from Texas. And so everybody's excited. Wow. Now the Jews is going to start and begin the offerings, right? Weren't you excited? Oh, yeah. Team was excited. I think all of us were excited. We thought, ah, right? What about in QC? What about you, Charlie? Weren't you excited? Yeah, I'm sure you're excited. Many of us were excited because we thought, wow, it must happen before the middle of the middle of the week, right? The last week. This is why in this October, we were expecting there's a last chance the Jews may begin, okay, the offerings. But then, because the time has come, the Lord showed us very clearly. Look into that verse again. Because we took it for granted that the translation was correct. So I went into the verse again and into the Hebrew word. The real translation, the better translation, or the right translation will be in the second half, in the half, not in the middle, but in the half of the week. Especially in the German translation, definitely says, and in the half, the next half, the half of the 7 years, he will cause the offerings and sacrifices to cease. That means that event will happen in the second half. And when I saw that, I have to thank the Lord, because I thought so many saints, we were expecting the offerings to happen, and it didn't. It's going to shake up the faith of the saints, right? Their faith will be shaken. How come it didn't happen? But now we understand why, because the time is not yet. The time is in the second half. Those who know German, just like you, right? Zur Hälfte, der letzten Woche. Meaning to say, in the second half. The word second, now put it in italicized. Because that's the only way to understand. Right. And two things have to happen, actually. Firstly, the Jews will have to begin the animal sacrifices. And they can't. They could have if they could. They would have if they could. But, you know, war broke out. And even the Hamas, they blame the red cow, the heifer, for the war. Poor red cow was blamed for the war. Can you imagine that? because they were afraid that if the Jews really did it, they might destroy the dome on the rock. They're going to rebuild the temple. So two things that are necessary is the sacrifice and the rebuilding of the temple. Who do you think will allow them to do that? Biden? No, Biden is is Biden, okay? No. What about this Kamala? Not Kamala, but Kamala. You think she will allow them? No. They are anti-Semitists. So who will allow them? Europe will allow them? Iran will allow them? Turkey will allow them? The Muslims will allow them to do it? Who, China? So you can see the complication now, right? And we know what will happen in the second part. I don't want to go into it, right? Because we're living right in this time. It's inconvenient for me to say something about it, right? But you have to realize what's going to happen. These two things must happen. These two things must happen. An election is going to happen in November 5th. It is a very strange time, I must say. Right? For those who don't live here, you don't feel it, okay? You don't feel it. And it's good you don't feel it. I wish I would live in the Philippines and... Then I won't bother with it, right? I envy you living in the Philippines, okay? Or in the Far East, Singapore and Malaysia, whatever, wherever you are, right? But we here in the States, right, Greg, do you feel it? Oh, yeah, you felt it. I'm sure you did. We all felt it. And it is really a difficult time. But it must happen and it will happen. And quite a few things are already happening to fulfill the Word of God. Right? So Revelation chapter 17 will happen. And very soon will happen. But this, what I said concerning the spiritual, or not the spirit, animal sacrifices and the rebuilding of the temple will happen in the second half. So I'm saying this to all the saints that are there listening so that you will not be disappointed. Oh, well, the Lord is not coming yet. No, he is coming. Okay? He definitely is coming, and he's coming soon. So you have to realize that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that man of sin, that lawless one, and he's also called the son of perdition, he will proclaim himself to be God, and he will enter into the temple and show himself to be God. So that means the temple has to be ready in the second half. Now the details of How it's going to happen, I don't want to say anything, okay? I don't want to say anything. This is one thing that we need to see. He's called the lawless one. And today in this country, it is really becoming a lawless country. So many illegals coming. At least 200 million or 20 million, at least 20 million illegals, and many of them are criminals, coming into this country. And they're spreading all over. Okay, that's not a good sign. Definitely not a good sign. And anything goes. If you are doing something good, you'll be persecuted. If you're doing something lawless, it's okay. Nothing will happen to you. Yeah. The lawless ones are protected. And those who are for the law, better watch out. Right? You know that song for Christmas, "You Better Watch Out"? You better watch out. Because lawlessness is coming to town. Has already come in many towns, in many cities. It's amazing. It is really amazing. And they can do whatever they like, and the law can't do anything because the DOJ becomes a DOI, the Department of Injustice. The FBI is terrible. The CIA. And then you can see that particular party, whatever they call themselves. Right. It's hopeless. But it is good to see this happening because this is the sign given by God to the whole world and of democracy. Remember, if this country falls, the whole nations, all the countries in the world will fall. God has set this country to keep peace in the whole world, but now it's falling apart. That is why they hate that person who wants to make America great again, because the whole agenda is to destroy this country. And here comes a certain person who wants to accomplish the opposite. Right. So this is happening. And now, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the temple will have to be built. Otherwise, how can he enter into the temple and proclaim himself to be God, you tell me? He's gone to the cathedral? Many of the Christians interpret that, okay, that temple is the church. So, but there are so many of them, so which one? Which one is called the temple? Only that one in Jerusalem. It has to be built. Right. And then second point that we all need to understand is that between the sixth seal and the seventh seal in Revelation chapter 6, right? And we know if the sixth seal is open, everybody knows, okay? The whole world will know that judgment is coming because there will be a worldwide earthquake. The sun becomes dark, the moon becomes red like blood, and the stars are going to fall. And every mountain and every island will move from its place, so everybody knows, and everybody's hiding. From the king to the slave, they will be hiding and ask the rocks to fall on them, because the great day of God's wrath has come. Right? But then, before the seventh seal is opened, you have to read chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. So chapter 8 is the beginning of the trumpet. But before the trumpet or the seventh seal is opened, right, there is chapter 7. That means there is a period of time in between. And in this period of time, it is the sealing of the 144,000 among the Jews, 12,000 in each tribe. I don't know how long it'll take. Perhaps not very long. I don't know about the angels. When the angels are doing the sealing, it may be faster than if we are doing it, okay? So that period of time may be short, but at least there is a period of time. And then the second part of chapter 7 is the multitude standing before the throne of God in the heavens. That means that's the rapture of the first fruits and the man-child. The man-child are the overcomers since the time of Abel. Abel was the first one who was murdered. And it says they have gone through the great tribulation. That word, great tribulation, should not throw you off thinking that that is the last 3.5 years of great tribulation. No, that great tribulation is the tribulation of God's people, starting with Abel. Abel was murdered by Cain. And all through the Bible and the last 2,000 years, these are the martyrs in seal number 5. So you can see these two things, the sealing and the rapture, is taking place in chapter 7. Then there was a period of silence, half an hour. And the Lord told the seven angels with the trumpets, don't blow yet. And you can see in chapter 8, those who were raptured were praying before the incense, golden incense altar before the throne, right? It's not down here, it's up there, right? And then the incense will be before the throne of God, and the angels took the incense, mixed it with a censer there, threw it down to the earth, and that's when the trumpet began to blow. So what I'm telling you this is that between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, something is happening. So it does not mean that the trumpet begins right away. So in that period of time, there's the rapture and there's the sealing. So you can visualize, that those things will not happen immediately before, so that means there is a period of time in the beginning of the second half for all these things to happen. But it's not going to be long. Okay, remember, because when a beast comes, he will then do his work for 42 months. And then you have the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, who will be testifying to the Jews in Jerusalem, right? So, but this I mentioned to you so that you can understand that there is this short period of time. How long, I cannot tell. Yes, nobody knows. But it cannot be very long. It cannot be 1 year, okay? 1 year will be too long. So what's going to happen in details, we don't know. Maybe later on I'll fellowship with you a little bit more about it, right? But not in the open, okay? Right. So I share this with you all and even with the saints in the Far East for you to understand why at this time, the animal sacrifices is not taking place yet, although they wanted to. And the Orthodox Jews there, they truly, sincerely want to rebuild the temple. So, And then what's happening in the war there, in the Middle East right now, is a precursor for the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38. That, you can read it yourself. All right. We only have 3 meetings. We'll continue tomorrow. But read Leviticus. Promise, yeah? All the dear saints in the Philippines, in QC. Okay? All right, we'll have some prayers. Amen. Yeah.